We do sing that one, Dave.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, you can push me.
I fixed mine.
They come in, I think.
I can do anything with mine.
Oh, okay.
They did announce after church Sunday night.
I'll be back.
Number 22. 22. 5:43 was this morning. It was, look it up. All the way my Savior leads me. All the way my Savior leads me, what am I to ask beside? Can I doubt this tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul and thirst may be gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, all the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit cloaked immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Our next song is 251. 251, how long has it been? Since you knelt by your bed,
Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that labor without ceasing. What an honor it is to always recognize you as our God always in time of trouble and time as well. We're thankful, Father, that we live in a country where we can still recognize you as our God, and Christ as our Savior, your word, as your message to us. We're thankful, Father, for all of anybody you give us. Remember those of our congregation not able to be with us. Continue to bless them as they come back. Continue to bless Kay's family. We pray that we can soon come back and be with us and always enjoy shaking old Jimmy and Josh's hand, and we always get in and out the door. Thank you, Father, for them and bring them back and be with us. That you'd be with us this week and give us a good time and everything be close to you, and bring us back this Wednesday evening at 6. We'll be able to study the Bible again and judgment and lead us into the worship. Forgive us, Father. Forgive our sin. In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. At this time, I'd like to remark your song of invitation, 517. 517. We will sing 1, 3, and 5 at the appropriate time. When you get that marked, I'd like to return to number 1, A Beautiful Life. Number 1.
Each day of deliverance on the deep, by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can.
Life's evening sun
is sinking
low.
Is sinking low.
A few more days,
and I must go to meet the deed that I have done. Where there will be no setting sun, to be a child of God's
hand,
my light must shine. Try to have some troubled soul.
Life's evening sun
is sinking low.
A few more days.
And I must go to meet the deed that I have done.
And I must go
to meet the deed that I have done. Where there will be no setting sun. I'll help someone in time of need. And journey on with rapid speed. I'll help the sick.
Setting sun,
while going down
the last Thy evening sun.
His sinking glow.
His sinking glow.
A few more days.
A few more days.
I must go.
And I must go to meet the deed.
That I have done.
Where there will be.
Where there will be.
No setting sun.
Tonight I want to talk to you and with you about Jesus' lordship, what it means for Jesus to be our Lord and our Master. And so that's what we're going to begin with, is actually some definitions. The first one, is, of course, that we're going to look at is the word Lord. It means supremacy, supreme in authority, signifying having power, variously translated in the New Testament, Lord or Master. So we know that when we talk about Jesus being our Lord, this is a kind of a beginning point anyway for us to understand what it means for him to be our Lord and how we should respond to him as our Lord. And another word that we'll look at and talk about is the word worship. It means to kiss towards, to prostrate oneself in homage, to do reverence to or adore. And when we look, especially when we get to Revelation, we'll see this word being used about the four living angels that are creatures that fall down and worship the Lord as well as others. So Jesus, we know, I think one of the first passages that we refer to sometimes when we're talking about the authority of Jesus is just before he gives the Great Commission. It says in Matthew chapter 28 and 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority, and we'll expand on this, as we go along and deal with this idea of authority and lordship with Jesus. But all authority, and who has it been given to him by? By God. And so he has been given this all authority to control and to be and in charge, and we'll see more details as we go along this evening. We see that he is the Son of the living God. Now, this is pretty early in Jesus' ministry. Jesus had just been talking to the multitudes and talking about eating, you know, his body and drinking his blood as far as living water and living food and so on. And they didn't understand, and so most of them left. But Simon Peter answered in John chapter 6, 68 and 69. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is quite a dynamic statement by Peter here that he answered. He said, called, of course, the first thing he does is address him as Lord. And he's saying, Master, the one that's in charge, the one that we turn to, you have the words of eternal life. And I think that as time has come on here with the disciples to this point, and they've seen the things that Jesus has done and things he's taught, there's just no doubt in their mind. They may not believe understand everything, but they believe who he is. And he goes on to say, also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So you are the Messiah, right? You are the Son of the living God. Now, Jesus, as far as I can tell, really hasn't told them much, saying that he was the Son of God. He called himself the Man of God, maybe referred to himself as and that frame of mind, but to them, when the term man of God was used, it was referring to God's relationship, the Son of God. The Pharisees and such had at this point in time would take that term as being not literal, because the Son, God could not be on the earth. You could not see and touch God. But now they became to realize that this is who Jesus was. And so if this is what they believed about Jesus and understood about who he was, then this comes to us, for us to understand and us to grasp who Jesus was and who he is, of course, and accept this and humbly admit to it and what it does and what it means as far as our relationship to him is that he is in total, complete control. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, it says that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing. And, of course, if we keep the commandments that Jesus has given, right, because he is Lord, because he is Messiah, and we're going to keep that until he comes again. Let's read on. Which he will manifest in his own time, he who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Well, and I didn't highlight the word potentate here, but what do you think about when you think about potentate? The one that's really in charge, the one that's over everything. And, of course, King of kings, there's no king greater than him. Lord of lords, there's no one that can claim master or lordship greater than Jesus. Why? Because he has all authority, because he has all power, because he is God. In verse 16, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So again, this refers and reflects back to God, who alone has immortality. Well, again, before Christ came, who alone was the only one that had immortality as far as the Jews were concerned? God. And now it's being proclaimed here that Jesus is a part of that. Think about unapproachable light, dwelling in unapproachable light. No one can see, right? No one can touch him because he's God. That's what the people of, like when they went up, Moses went up on the mountain and such. He saw what? The hand of God. He saw the backside, whatever that means. The back of God, maybe. But here we know that they, the apostles, the people while Jesus lived here, were with him. They touched him. They ate with him. They were apart with him. And he says, but this one, this Son of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, has everlasting power, honor, whom we be honor and everlasting God. Who can we honor greater than Jesus Christ? No one. No man on this earth. No one has that right to be called that. And yet today people do that. They give honor to people and to authority over groups or organizations, I guess is what I'm looking for as far as the word is concerned. But Jesus has that honor. He has that everlasting power, everlasting, always, always. This is God and Jesus' power. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him to give him the name which is above every name. Let's stop here and again remember the background. This is where it said that Jesus is the exact representation of God, right? He's exact, equal with God, and that he came to this earth as a man and so on. And then after he died and was resurrected, this is what it says there. Let me read it again. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And the name, why is the name so important? It's critically important because it's who Jesus, God is describing as Jesus. He goes on to say that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth. So everyone, whether they believed or not, whether they were atheists or not, they're all going to bow before him and proclaim him to be the Son of God. And because they're going to bow before him because he's going to be a part of that final judgment. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. No one will be able to deny it at this point in time. Everyone will know and recognize that's who he is. Why is that important? Because people today should realize and recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. And that if they don't recognize it now, they don't admit it now, they're going to admit it someday on that judgment day. They're going to say that, have to say, it's going to be, they can't withhold it, that he is that. They're going to all bow before him, all confess his name. And so when we think about this, does it humble you? Does it humble you and let you think that, who am I to think that I can have authority and power? I don't have anything except what God has given to man to do. Now, all authority hasn't been given to any man, any person, any group. It's all Jesus, and we submit to him. Therefore, all things are in subjection to Jesus as Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 23 through 27. First of all, verses 23 and 24. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all and power. So Jesus is control of everything, but when he comes again, everything else is going to end. All authority, all power, and the kingdom. What is his kingdom? It's the church. And Jesus is going to deliver his church up to God when it comes. Verses 25 and 27. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. And when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who puts all things under him is accepted. So all things, everything, again, like we talked about just a moment ago, is that every knee is going to bow. Everyone is going to recognize who he is, and his kingdom is going to be lifted up, and everything else is going to be submitted, completely submitted to him. Even though we don't see it now, it will be when Jesus comes again. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. By him all things were created. Do we read that anyplace else in the Bible? In the beginning, right, was the Word, and the Word was with God, was God, and all things were made by him and through him. So we see that stated again. All things are created, were created that are in heaven and on earth, seen or unseen, and all things were created through him and for him. So why were you created? You and I were created for him. We are his. Now many people don't recognize that and realize that now, but let us recognize it. Let us see it. Let it be a part of who we are and how we treat him, that we are his. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and him all things consist. In other words, Jesus is the Alpha, as God is, and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know Alpha and Omega, beginning of the Greek alphabet, the end of the Greek alphabet. It's the beginning, the end, and all things consist through him. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Jesus is the head of the body, the head of the church. And so if he is the head of the church, everything that we do and everything that we are, we submit to him. We do because it's what his will says, what his word says. And we want to submit to him because he, of course, is our Lord. He is in all authority, that everything is from begins to him, and he has the preeminence. That means he has charge of everything, the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Then in Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, I talked about the four living creatures. This is that passage. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Apparently, and we don't obviously know a lot about these four living creatures, except they're very powerful. Very powerful, they're all seeing, they're all knowing, and they, when they come before God, they rest, do not rest day and night, proclaiming who he is, that he's Lord God Almighty. And we understand that this is Jesus he's talking about, because Jesus is called Lord. Lord God Almighty. Now, it's also God. God is Lord God Almighty also. But we need to understand that they're talking about Jesus as we continue here. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, these living creatures are honoring God and Jesus. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worships him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. You are worthy, O Lord. Why? In the beginning, Jesus created all things. All things were made by him and for him. And so we know that they're talking about Jesus, that you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. He is worthy. Now, I think about the crowns. We're told that the 24 elders had a crown, right? And they fall down and worship him, and it falls towards them. Well, let's see what that has to say in a little bit. So our response to our Lord, how do we respond to this fact of who Jesus is to us today. Romans 14, 7 through 9. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. So, no matter how we do it, whether we're alive or we're dead, we belong to him. We die to the Lord. We are. Why? Because we are the Lord's. I think it's so hard for us sometimes to get this into our minds and into our hearts, that if we are the Lord's, then we are going to be completely different kind of people. That we are people that not only submit to him, but we respond to each other and people in the world differently. We respond like Jesus would respond to them. Verse 9, to this end Christ died. Okay, this is what Jesus wanted, right? To this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. He died and lived again so he could be our Lord. Now, if he had not been raised from the dead, Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15 that we are to be of all men most pitied. But because he did, this is our Lord. He proved it. He showed it. He is worthy that he might be Lord of us. Revelation 17 and verse 14. These will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. We've already read that, haven't we? And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. So because he is who he is, we are chosen, we are faithful. You have been chosen by God. You're chosen by God. I want you, he said. And if we said, yes, Lord, I'll respond to that. I'll come to that. I will be yours. We are submitting to him. We surrender to him so that he can lift us up and make us his children, his family. We are called the chosen. We are called the faithful. Jesus, our Lord, therefore, completes us. He makes us whole and complete. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. Everything, the Spirit, God, him, they dwell together bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Sometimes do you ever feel like you're not complete? I mean, do you ever feel sometimes that I'm not all I should be, all I want to be? And we're not perfect. We're human beings. But in God, in Jesus Christ, he brings us together with the Godhead to complete us, to fulfill us, to make us what he wants us to be. Let us surrender our will so we can be made what he wants us to be in him. Jesus, therefore, our Lord, is the Holy One of God. The Holy One of God, chosen by God and redeemed and made lifted up, made all powerful. He has all authority in heaven and on earth, and will continue that through the end of ages. All things are in subjection to him. All things. Now, not all things recognize it and realize it, but they will know. They will come to that knowledge of reconciliation, that recognition that they are in subjection to him on that judgment day. For we belong to him. If we could just, as we get this into our head, into our heart, into our minds, it changes us to become like him. And therefore, he completes us. He makes us full. He makes us complete. We are all complete and one in him. What about you and I? What about us? Will we give our life to Jesus and allow him to be the Lord of our life? If so, won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing?
All do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. For sinner, harden not thy heart, be saved, O tonight.
Why not tonight?
Oh, why not tonight?
Why not tonight?
Why not?
want to thank everyone for coming and being with us again this evening and within studying another portion of God's will. A reminder to keep everybody that's on our prayer list in your prayers this week. The ones that are shut in, the ones that are sick, Case family, Mayberry family, they need our prayers. They need our comfort. Is there anything else that needs to be said tonight? One more thing. Oh, if you haven't talked to Brent about your ARC event, please do so as quick as possible. He's finalizing plans and making sure everything's going to be a good trip for everybody. So at least I hope it'll be a good trip and a good education for us to go over there and see that. Is there anything else that needs to be? If not, Jamie.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Son that you sent to earth to die for us, to die for our sins. It was the ultimate sacrifice, and you gave that sacrifice, and he gave his life for us that we could have a chance at home in heaven with you. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that we have. If we just look around, we're blessed people. We all have good family and friends and a good church family, and we're blessed with that. We thank you for that. Father, be with the ones that's been mentioned here today, Kay's family, that got a lot of things going on and grieving her death, and we know that she's important to them. We just pray that you be with them and give them the strength to get through. Be with the sick that's been mentioned here today. Brent went home early. We just pray that he's getting better. And we thank you for people like Brent here that takes the time to organize trips. A lot of work that goes into that, and he's taking his time to do that. We just pray that you'll bless that trip and keep everyone that goes on that trip safe. Be with each and every one of us that's here tonight and bring us back to the next appointed time. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.